This is Hidden Mickey Guy, Steve Barrett, and you're listening to the Disney Nerds Podcast.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast. A place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the Magic Worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 56 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. On this week's show, we're going to finish up talking about the time we spent down together at Epcot. We're going to hit a little mixology session at Food and Wine, and then we're going to spend some time talking about Maelstrom. As you know, Maelstrom is no longer there, and we were lucky enough to be there a day before it closed. For this week's show, we have a full boat. We have Jimmy from Once Upon a Time Travel. How's it going, Jimmy?
Fantastic. How's everybody doing?
Good. We also have Sam from Sam's Disney Diary. How you doing, Sam?
I'm doing great. Keep your hands and legs inside the boat at all times, please.
Great week for Pittsburgh. Congratulations.
Thank you.
About time.
I don't know if you knew this. If I had played Ben, I would have beat you. But instead, Sam's Disney Diary went down in the Fantasy League, lost to Ed, but that's all right. The playoffs are coming.
And I wasn't even going to say that. I just was going to stop at Pittsburgh doing well.
As soon as I saw that, I went directly to Sam's roster to see. I'm like, he had to have started him, right? And then I thought, you know, there's always this what if game, but I distinctly remember Sam taking Ben immediately before me in the draft. And this week I had to play my backup quarterback, which would have been Ben. And there's all this like woulda, 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 but like this is definitely one of those where I would not have benched Ben. But
so
I won.
Ben's playing this week because Rodgers is on a bye week, so we'll see what happens.
But you know, Ed beat me.
I told Sam,
you know what? You're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and you've got Ben Roethlisberger, and he's on your bench. That's your fault.
Especially because he is a starting quarterback. This week I picked up Michael Vick, and I was excited about it. And my husband's like, really? Why are you excited about that? I said, because, well, and he was right in most leagues, but our league is so deep and so big that I said, look at who else are my options. My other options don't play football. Literally number 7 on the options that are available currently, Tim Tebow. Thank you very much. I'll take Michael Vick. Tim Tebow, as far as I know, does not currently play in the NFL.
No, he's not on the team.
I was just thrilled to get a current player. So,
right.
It's a rough week for buys, but hopefully Ben will do something for you as long as you're not playing me. I haven't checked yet, but
Sure. We're fighting through the buys. And for those that don't know, over on the Disney Nerds group page, we're able to get two different leagues set up on fantasy football. So there's two separate leagues going right now, and we're talking about the one league. And it was actually the big matchup between the number one in the East and the number one in the West between Sam and I. And, that's how it turned out. Could have gone any different way. You never know how these guys are going to play each week.
It was only a couple of points.
Sure. Oh, it was. Definitely it was.
And, dude, we are 10 minutes off track before you get through introductions. Boom.
Well, speaking of that, we also want to welcome Jen from the For the Love of Disney blog.
That's right. I realized I hadn't even been welcomed yet. Thank you. Good to be here.
Oh, sure. Well, welcome. And tonight, like I said, we're going to talk about mixology. Now, one of the sessions we had down at the Food and Wine was a 6 p.m. reservation. It was something that we set up beforehand that we knew we were all going to do together. So it was really kind of cool in that regard.
The mixology session was over in the Wonders of Life Pavilion, which is...
Oh, it's during the festival center.
It always will be the Wonders of Life Pavilion.
Amen.
Which happens to double as the festival center during Food and Wine. I think they use it for Flower and Garden as well.
They do.
But it was back, walking into the Wonders of Life Pavilion, back in the left-hand corner. It was very nice. They had a bunch of tables set up, tables and chairs set up, and you just get to sit and enjoy it. So that's where it was. There was also a lot of other cool stuff in the pavilion, in the festival center, which is at the Wonders of Life Pavilion.
Oh, sure. There was a lot of different things to buy and to browse through in there. A full wine store, which I was kind of surprised, but it looks like it offered all the wines that were offered at Food and Wine, so that was very cool.
It also, in that wine store, they also had an area that just sold spirits, just liquor. And from what I could tell, not much different price-wise than what you'd pay at a grocery. So, you know, you could get a bottle of Buffalo Trace bourbon for $28, which is definitely not Disney prices, you know.
Right. Now, wasn't there some type of stipulation when you bought the bottle? Like, you couldn't take it with you then? You had to have it shipped to the front of the park or to your hotel or something like that?
I didn't try and buy anything, but I would imagine there would be something like that, just so that you couldn't buy it, stick it in your bag, and pour your own drinks at the park rather than paying Disney for them.
Yeah, there's a nice big sticker that says you're not allowed to consume it on property and that it's meant to leave. And I do, I'm not sure if you have to pick it up front or not, but yeah, you can't buy it and start drinking it.
Right, right. Well, along with that, there was a couple of displays where you could buy kitchen-type instruments and things like that.
You know, and the festival shop in there, pretty much anything that's available around World Showcase, you can find in the festival center in one of the merchandise shops.
The big store or area by the next to the knives and next to the little wine bar and all, they had just about everything there, from Prince to the Food and Wine, Dooney and Burke's, to the shirts and wine glasses and beer glasses and coasters and, I mean, just about anything you can imagine they had at that one area.
It's really the center hub for everything, Food and Wine. So there's bottle signings where you can meet winemakers that will sign the bottles, book signings and meet and greets, even a chocolate experience in there too. Did you guys check that out?
We didn't go in there, but it was like a chocolate bar, wasn't it?
Did you not go in there, Jennifer?
No.
Well, after the couple of drinks, we actually went the other way. But right. I think they were giving out
samples. We closed the place up. They were kicking us out. But that's here nor there. But the Bean to the Bar experience is hosted by Godiva Chocolate. And it's really just chocolate sculptures. It's sort of back where the VIP area of the old Wonders of Life used to be. And you sort of look around at some chocolate sculptures. The how chocolate's made from the bean to the bar, right? That's what it's called. But the best part is the free sample of Godiva chocolate that you get on the way out, which is always nice.
Well, very cool. So after we took our stroll around the Wonders of Life, we made it back over to the Mixology Pavilion, I guess we call it. And I guess there was seating for maybe about 100 people, you think?
Probably at least that.
Sounds about right.
Right, with a nice elevated stage in front. And I got to think that if you did look on YouTube, you would find some video of it. However, once we get done talking, we're going to hear about 15 minutes of the demonstration. It was very cool, and we heard how Cutty Sark is made and blended. And the demonstration was cool in that we had Christine Campbell from Cutty Sark telling us how they mixed the scotch. And then we had another gentleman teaching us how to make three different drinks using the different brands of Cutty Sark.
His name is Bumby.
Bumby, right. I know he had a formal name, and that's how I remember it.
It was like Michael Bum, B-U-M something, but he went by Bumby.
Right. Does anybody remember what his credentials were?
He works for a company in the Orlando area that does spirits and stuff like that. But, I mean, he's a mixologist. He teaches chain restaurants and stuff on how to make drinks and teaches their head bartenders and stuff like that.
Right. He comes out with the big signature drinks for a lot of these big chain restaurants.
Sure.
So you figure he knows what he's talking about, and you can kind of hear it while he's doing his mixing.
Very enthusiastic.
Right. Even when the drinks don't go quite the way he planned, you'll hear a couple of different mishaps he has while making our first drink.
He was pretty funny.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Something to remember, when you do go to these mixology sessions, even though you have a reservation, you still have to remember to get online. Pretty big line formed while we were waiting, and we got onto it, and we were lucky enough to be able to sit together. There was 8 of us, so that was kind of a nice little thing. And it was a very, very interesting time.
It's a luck of the draw as far as what you're going to see and who's going to be there. This changes every week during the Food and Wine Festival. It just so happened that this is who we got to see the weekend that we were there and available. Call ahead, get that seat. I did see some empty spots, and if you came up and tried to get in, they'd tell you it was sold out, but obviously it wasn't. So even if it's the day of, you know, I'd
give it a shot and see if you can't get into one of the mixology classes. Always different, always unique, and it was definitely a cool experience.
Right. Now, the cost was $15, so I didn't really think that was that bad.
I mean, probably one of the better values for one of the, you know, for a pay event at Food & Wine.
Yeah, all in, it was about an hour long, right? Mm-hmm. So $15, yeah, okay.
Pretty entertaining.
Right, and we were given three shot-sized drinks throughout the demonstration. He would basically make a drink. The cast members would be passing out that drink to all of us so we could taste it, and we did that three different times.
It was you definitely got your money's worth for the alcohol because the drinks were pretty strong.
Oh, yeah. I bought two seats and got twice it. Never mind.
Sure you could have. And you'll hear during the recording also, it was kind of funny because in the beginning, he almost chastised us for being so quiet. By the end, we don't stop. Everybody's yelling out things.
Right. We want cherries.
Yes. The infused cherries.
Right.
Very cool. And what's also nice about this is that Sam's going to eventually down the road have a Sam's Disney diary of the mixology. He's going to try to put together some of the video he has from this event too. On top of that, I'll post some pictures with our Facebook posts of the show also, kind of showing you some of the things we saw so you can kind of realize what the situation was and what you're hearing. Before we finish up a mixology, guys, what do you think as far as thumbs up, thumbs down to the event?
I think two thumbs up.
Are we going to do it again?
I would do it again.
I give the event two thumbs up. I was not a fan of any of the drinks, but that's 100% preference. The event was superbly done and a lot of fun, so I would do it again in a heartbeat with a different drink.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I mean, right. So the drinks you get is just happens to be timing, right? So,
well, absolutely,
that just happened to be what they had. They also had other mixology things with Puerto Rican rum
and which bourbon, probably, which I wish,
yeah,
I had
bourbon,
gotten to.
So,
and we talked ahead of time, you know, a lot of us said, I don't really know how I feel about scotch. This is a great opportunity to try some things made by somebody who knows what they're doing, learn a little bit about it, learn for some of us that we won't order it again. So definitely not a regret at all. Just I would totally look forward to it another time. I think that it was an awesome offering, definitely a great value.
Oh, yeah.
Thumbs up?
Absolutely. For the event itself, yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
Thumbs up for the event and the cost. Let me ask that question a little differently. We were all together, a bunch of adults. There was one stroller inside of the event, which was called out, and Bumby mentioned that they were being great sports, and a shout out to those that brought their kids who happened to be coloring during the event. Do you do that if you have little ones?
Yeah, she bought an extra spot.
to drink their drink, and I know where you're
right.
Going with it.
That's what I meant. I mean, if you got kids in a stroller, you get double the drinks.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that, just as long as it's one event and they're not going to pile it on at Food & Wine. But
right.
Yeah, I could see it being one event.
To me, as we talked about with our solo trip show, it wouldn't be a use of our time that I found beneficial for our whole family. We like doing things that everyone enjoys, and my kids would be not only bored but probably disruptive because they were bored, so we probably wouldn't. Now if I had an infant in a stroller asleep, absolutely,
that's different. Yeah, right. So and absolutely. That's going to get down to the age of the kids. I could see, say, right, we're in the festival center, I could see easily sending the family over to Mission Space or Test Track while I did it. Right.
Yeah,
that's an
sure.
option.
And with Nick around, that makes it so much easier.
Absolutely. When you get an older one,
right.
You could pull something like that off. Hey, guys, take a look at Test Track. You know what? The standby line for Test Track's 35 minutes. This event's 45 minutes. It could work out. So those are things you could think about if you're,
sure.
if you're taking
sure.
the family.
The ultimate, get them on Ellen. That's 47 minutes.
That's right.
The warning.
I'm going to do two.
Yeah. Okay, and I tell you what, as far as the event for me was really cool, and I definitely like to experience new things, and that's exactly what this was. So, yeah, definitely thumbs up. One of the things that really I like about these type of Disney mixology type of events on the cruises, here in the park, things like that, is that you pick up really kind of small things. I never knew what it meant to bruise a drink. I never knew what bitters really were. And in the recording you'll hear right after we're done, you're going to hear a couple of those things that you just never knew before. You heard the terms, and some of them get explained, which is really kind of cool. So you do get a little bit of an education, too.
I got the acid trick in the lighter thing that I've used now. That's pretty cool.
Oh, right, right, with the orange peel.
And the twist, yeah, and where the flavor comes from and what you can light, what catches on fire, and what doesn't. That's pretty cool.
Right, so definitely.
I did learn something.
Thanks. You're lighting stuff on fire.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Well, and you guys haven't listened to it since the trip, so you're not going to realize, but when you hear it again today, you're going to definitely remember all these things, and you're going to be able to use them. So that's what's so really cool about these events. And it was only $15.
Would you have paid the $15 for the mixology seminar without the free booze? Oh, no, I guess not free, but without the booze included, just to go watch the presentation?
Nope.
Yeah, I agree with Ted on that. I think it's all a package. It's part of it. I mean, he's telling you so much about it, and the things to taste, the nuances to get out of it, and whether you liked it or not, he was telling you what was happening.
I guess that's my point. Is the presentation worth the price of admission, I guess, is my question.
Well, it'll depend on the person, and I probably wouldn't have done it for that respect, but I don't imagine Disney giving an event like that. Well, now what we're going to do is let's listen to about 15 minutes of the mixology session we went to at the Food and Wine Festival.
The way I like to describe it is a bit like a pasta dish. So you've got your grain whiskey, which is the pasta, and then the malts, which are the sauce. And it's combining these two quality ingredients together that really combines to give a dish. So to put the blend together, I have lots of different whiskies, different grains, different malts, of different strength, colour and age. And I need to bring these together in a consistent way. One of the key flavor influences within the blend is the cask that we use. And there are five main jobs that the cask does. The first one is the size of the cask that we use. The smaller the cask, the quicker the whiskey matures. Then there's the age of a cask. A brand new cask will deliver a lot more flavor than a refill cask. Each time we use a cask, we get less color and less flavor from it. The type of wood that the cask is made from is very important. With Cutty Sark, we use mainly ex-sherry casks and predominantly American oak sherries, which is quite unusual. But it's these that really deliver the sweet vanilla notes that you'll see coming through in the cocktails. Then there's the toasting or charring of the casks. The casks that we use are lightly toasted, and that creates very specific flavors. And then lastly, probably the most obvious one, the length of time that the spirit is in the cask for. The longer it's there, the more intense the flavour. So I'm sure you're all familiar with Cutty Sark Original. I know a few of you were at the tasting earlier today.
Yeah.
Cutty Sark was first created back in 1923, and it was actually produced by wine merchants in London. And it was very revolutionary for the time because all other distillers were producing very rich, heavy and dark Scotch whiskies. But what the Berry Brothers wanted to do was create a very light and, unusually for that time, a mixing whisky. So it was actually designed for the cocktail set. The key flavours within the blend are mainly vanilla, strong toffee vanilla note coming from American oak sherry casks. And then also underneath are these lovely citrus flavours, lime, and also a bit of melon as well. And the finish for me is just vanilla ice cream. It's fantastic.
That's why the bottle's empty, by the way. Because it's really good stuff.
Okay, so now over to you to show how fantastically mixed of all the whiskey is.
So we're here, what do they say? Happiest place on earth?
Right. Something like that.
I say we make it just a wee bit happier. What do you say? Yeah. All right, yes. Let's have a cocktail, shall we? All right. So we're going to have a couple of different drinks tonight. Some of them you've heard of before. The first one we're going to start off with is an old-fashioned.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone's heard of that one, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But look, this one is more of an in fashion, if you will. Which means it's kind of hip. It's kind of cool. It's trendy. Get there with me. We'll be there a little later, I'm telling you. After you have a couple sips, you'll be good. All right, so this cocktail, what do we know about the old fashioned? A couple of things we know immediately, right?
Orange.
It's going to be whiskey, orange, bitters.
Simple syrup.
Nope, but close. Something sweet.
Reading the wrong one.
Cherry. Yes. Cherry, orange.
Cherry.
Sometimes you put a little bit of, you put a little sugar packet in there, some bitters, but yes. So there you have it. We have our ingredients. And we have our whiskey, which is, in this case, is going to be our cutting syrup.
This one doesn't have cherry. It says sugar.
Everybody here that has all their ingredients, all their mixology tools at home, have tins and everything.
Of course.
We all have that. Yeah, well, you guys are very unique. Very cool and trendy, aren't you? However, you know what happens, and this is what I know to be true, is people invite you over, and then all of a sudden, because you're there and you are hip and trendy, they always expect for you to have all your stuff with you, which you don't always have your... You know, your tin just kind of in your back pocket. You're like, oh, okay, well, yeah, sure, of course. And I happen to have my muddler with me as well. It doesn't happen, right? So we have to learn to be a little bit spontaneous. We have to understand, you know, what the things we have and the tools we have around. So if you don't have a tin, that's okay, as long as you have a little bit of plasticware. I know it sounds crazy, right? But it's okay. So with our old-fashioned, we're going to be taking a little bit of orange. Put that in there. We're going to take a couple of cherries, which I actually have right here. And then we are going to take a little bit of our sugar water, or in this case, a little agave nectar, which is what I kind of like to use. And then if you don't have a muddler, then you can always find anything that's got a flat bottom. You're going to muddle it. Now, when we're muddling things, muddler, darn near killed her. They only get worse, I trust you. Trust me. All right, but what we're going to do is whenever you're muddling something, is you want to make sure that you're getting all the fruit itself and not, especially with like oranges or anything with citrus, you don't want to be hitting on the rind because we know what that is, right? It's bitter. So we want to just make sure as we're macerating everything is just to hit the actual fruit part of it and we'll be good to go. All right. Then the other thing is, especially being a home bartender, is portioning is very, very important. All right, because just, you know, more is not always better. You know, flavoring and everything else, for those that bake, you kind of know. You just can't just throw whatever it is you want in there. And especially when I'm making drinks, I want to make sure that I measure everything very, very specifically. Because otherwise, you know, you start talking to yourself, and who knows what else happens. All right, then we have just a little bit of bitters. Now, the thing about bitters, and I want you guys to know this. This is a very fun fact. Who knows the one thing about bitters? Like, go ahead.
A little goes a long way.
A little goes a long way. That's a very, very true statement.
It's red.
What do we know? What do you ever use bitters in soda, right? For what? Like heartburn or hiccups or anything like that. Has anybody ever heard about that before? No. Do you know why that works? Because this is 90 proof. Bitters is 90 proof.
Busted.
Anything works if it's 90 proof. Oh, my hiccups are gone. Life is great. Of course it is. You've been drinking 90 proof. It is a truism, by the way. So just if you're... Ooh, geez, criminy.
Oh, geez, criminy.
Oh. So, that was an accident, actually. My little doohickey fell off. I don't know what happened to it. But make sure when you're doing it is a couple of quick hits is all you need. But if you're giving, you know, like your kids bitters and soda, so they can get rid of them, I'm just letting you know that that is probably not the most ideal thing to do. All right, so a little bit of ice. Now, there's a couple different ways to make cocktails, right? You can shake them, we can stir them, right? If we're going to shake them, shake it like you mean it. You know what I'm saying, right? Because when we're shaking, it's supposed to be about having fun. We're having a cocktail, so we're either in a good mood or we want to be in a good mood. So why not start it off, right? You know what I'm saying? A little uncontrollable hose. Come on. No, nobody?
Sprinkler.
Huh? Come on, you know what I'm saying? A little lawnmower.
What?
Wave to the neighbors. All right. Once it's nice and chilled, then we can do a couple of different things. We can just pour it over ice, or just pour it into a glass, or strain it.
Looks like this is not.
Now, if you pour it into the glass, I kind of don't like doing that, because even if you think you know your friends, you don't know your friends. And this is what I'm going to tell you. So I could just do this, right? I could just pour it in here, probably top it off with just a touch more ice. But what happens is, like, all that muddled sherry, it's going to end up in your teeth, and no one's going to tell you. Nobody's going to tell you. You think they're your friends, but they're not. They're going to laugh at you all night. So what I like to do is, instead of doing that, is I like to just kind of strain it. So if you have to use, obviously, a strainer here, but spatula works just fine, too. You know, Aunt Jemima treatment. Who's your buddy? Who's your pal? You can use that. So that's how you would make this if you were going to shake it. Now, if we were going to stir it, totally different. We're building this as like a stir thing. Now, one thing we know about us as a society is what? We're a now generation, aren't we? Immediate satisfaction? No?
Yeah.
I didn't know if I was still, the microphone was still working or not. I didn't know. Right, so there's the stir and strain. You guys have heard, don't bruise my gin or don't bruise my spirit. Have you heard that before?
No.
What that means is don't water it down. So like what we just did with the uncontrollable, that was bruising it because we were watering and diluting the cocktail. Now if we were to stir it, now of course I could take a spoon and be very sophisticated. But this is a lot of work. It's a lot of work,
yeah.
Right? I mean, think about this. We created the candle snuffer because that was too hard. You know what I'm saying? We have an abbreviation for the word at. I'm thinking we're lazy. So, this was created for those who do not want to stir. Yeah, you just said, I'm sorry, my drink is not done stirring yet. It stirs itself. Yeah, it's kind of neat. You can get this online. I think I found this at the Rabbit Cocktail Stirrer. And all you do is just press it. It stirs itself. You don't really have to do anything else except for have a strainer, and you guys are putting a strain on me. Are the cocktails being delivered yet? Over listening to me. Send the cocktails. Disperse the cocktails. Because I know I'm going to be drinking one, so I think everybody else should be drinking one as well. All right, so just kind of a neat idea, but once again, stirring, not diluting the cocktail, shaking, obviously, is going to put a little dilution factor into it. Whenever you stir something, you can think about probably a quarter of an ounce to a half ounce of a dilution factor. Whenever you shake something over ice, you're probably getting about an ounce and a half to 2.5, depending on how many cool moves you have and the size of your ice, of course. So that will be your old fashioned, and you garnish it with an orange peel or an orange and a cherry. Now, I want to show you something, one more while you guys are drinking those, because we're going to try and make sure we're getting these out to you faster next time. But a little thing about garnishing that's really important, and I'm going to use my lovely assistant here to kind of talk a little bit about it, but is garnishing. So we've all seen these before, whether it be a lemon twist or an orange twist or whatever the case might be. We've seen these, right? These little pretty doohiggy pigtail finger dingers. We know what we're talking about, right? Yes?
Yeah.
You've seen them?
No,
all right, everyone's all excited about the drinks. Nobody's paying attention. They're like, oh, I don't know, I got a drink coming. All right, so I want to show you something, and if you don't mind, just light that for me. All right, yeah, keep it away from the eyebrows, though. So everybody's going to have to watch what happens here. Yeah, it's child-proof. All right, just push that up a bit. Hey, huh? Yeah. Very exciting. Very exciting.
We didn't have a dress rehearsal.
Mira, watch this. No, nothing happened. Everyone's like, oh, yay, I guess we're supposed to say yay. No, nothing happened, right? You didn't see anything, did you?
No.
Zero, zippo, nada.
Is that a twisted
button? Nada. Ah, we have a pebble. Very good. It's my favorite. All right, so we're going to try this one more time. Now, I'm using, instead of using a twist, instead I'm just taking a little piece of the rind off the orange. Okay, so all I'm doing is just took a little piece off the orange. You're gonna be sitting there. You want to eat the orange anywhere? Put like the little orange. What do they call those? Segments. Thank you very much. Segments. Put them on a salad or something like that. Keep these and then giddy up. Watch this. Giddy up.
Giddy up. Hey!
Yay, right? So way more fun. Ow. I'll be all right. But what you saw there, all the oils and acids that are actually coming from the rind of the citrus. Ooh. So this is what's giving flavor and giving you that extra palate cleanse, if you will, and brings out all the particulars of that spirit that you're drinking. So whether it be a lime twist or lemon twist or orange twist, anything with citrus, you want to make sure that you're giving yourself something fun and actually substantial to put into your cocktail. So when you're ordering a drink, don't order lemon twist because they're going to give you, or orange twist because they're going to give you this doohickey because they think it's pretty. Doesn't have any flavor. I just showed you. No flavor, right?
Right.
So, anyway, always order a wedge and then just peel off the pulp yourself and then you got yourself giddy up. The actual flavor itself.
So, am I getting Steve's cocktail?
Well, that one's probably going to have a wee bit too much bitters in it.
Okay,
here we go. I'm just saying. Cheers. Nice, right? So you were thinking old fashioned, you're like, oh, that's a, you know, it's an old person drink. This is batched for 200 people.
It's pretty strong, right? Like, I feel like I need to do like a shot. I know, right? That's like the only way it's going down.
No, I'm just kidding. This is really good. All right.
Okay.
Yes. All right. I didn't see anybody writing any notes, though.
You are not the first to ask this name, nor shall you be the last. Those who seek the spirit of Norway face peril and adventure, but more often find beauty and charm.
Before we go tonight, we also wanted to talk about something that was a unique experience, you know, in my mind was one of the more unique experiences that I've had at Walt Disney World. And that was actually to ride an attraction and experience an attraction that I knew would be the last time I would ever experience it. Typically, when things like this go on, you don't know right away. At the time when you're riding it, you don't know that attraction is going to be gone forever. But this time we knew, and obviously I'm talking about Maelstrom, and we knew going into this trip that this, you know, the next day was going to be the closing date and it would be gone forever. So, Ed, what did you think about that?
Well, again, when we heard the announcement, you go through the different, you know, I guess it's kind of strong saying emotions, but you go through the thoughts of, well, that's kind of sad. There's another ride going, and then you're kind of interested to see what's coming into it. But I do agree as far as just knowing that this will be your last time. How many times have we gone to Disney World, went on a ride, and then while we were gone, that ride has been taken away? So it was nice being able to ride it one more time, knowing that.
Yeah, I think that's the whole point. You know, I think that's exactly my point, is that, you know, most of the time you ride an attraction and it's in between trips that you find out, oh no, they're getting rid of that. I won't have the opportunity. But I guess it's also bittersweet that we knew. So we knew going into it, hey, we've got to go really take in everything we can and enjoy it one last time.
I think it's mostly good to know because I didn't always ride Maelstrom. You know, there was such a backlash, and then there was always somebody like myself saying it wasn't really anyone's favorite ride. And we're not going to go over that again, but or maybe we will. I don't know. I'm not really trying to go there, but it was what it was. And it isn't something that I rode every time, especially when my kids were too small. I wouldn't wait. If I didn't get a fast pass for it, I wouldn't wait in the line, even if it was only 10 or 15 minutes. So I probably would have passed it up had I not known. And you're right, Jimmy. So often we go down and we don't ride something. Wonders of Life, I'm looking at you still. And every ride in that pavilion that I still miss and everything about that pavilion. But we don't get a chance to do those things again. And so for me, I really enjoyed it the last time I rode it. And not in such a way that I'm disappointed that it's going away, but I just really enjoyed looking at it very intentionally and with a lot of purpose, knowing that it was the last time. I thought it was a really neat way to ride.
I agree.
Sam, did you get any video from this one?
I did. So to the point earlier, if you know it's going to be the last time, of course I have my video camera on. I even went through the hassle of putting the fisheye lens on the front of it so I could get some nice widescreen stuff, right?
Oh, nice.
So, yes, I have that, and that will be a video that we post either on the Disney Nerds page or over at Sam's Disney Diary, however that works out. Wrote it when we got there, then wrote it a second time and wrote it a third time and thought, all right, that's enough. I've had it.
Did you ride it three times while you were down there?
I did, not all on the same day, but I rode it three times and reminded myself. It kind of, you know, first you go through the, oh, yeah, this is going, that stinks. It's been here for so long. It's not original, right? Norway wasn't original to Epcot, so this came a little later. There were lots of things that it was supposed to be, but it ended up being what it is. And
or what it was?
What it was, and right. You know, we go through the story of what Illumination is and how cool it is and how it all ties together. What was the story of Maelstrom? How do you go from trolls to polar bears rigs to an oil derrick?
Don't forget the floating head.
Oh, yes, the floating head that comes up before you go over the falls. Over the falls. So there's some decent quotes that come from it. But at the end of the day, Maelstrom to me was a distraction to keep the kids busy while we were going around. If you're going to get replaced with something that's of interest to the kids, my concern is there's going to be a huge line back there when this becomes a Frozen attraction. But I don't know,
huge
that
line.
Maelstrom's good.
That second to last day, there was a huge line for the Maelstrom attraction.
Sure there was. Well, anytime you say something's going away, it's the most popular attraction on property.
Me and Ed joked about that while we were in the Fastpass line to go on Maelstrom. You know, we figured maybe our next trip we would start a rumor that Carousel of Progress was going away. And maybe that would draw some of the lines away from Space Mountain so we can go ride it.
Did you just say Carousel of Progress is going away?
That's what I heard.
Heard it here first.
That's the rumor. just kidding. Email Sam at Sam's Disney Diary.
That's right.
Yeah. No. So, yeah, Maelstrom. I understand.
I 100% agree. I understand why people wouldn't necessarily want it to be a Frozen attraction, which that's what they say it's probably going to be.
Oh, it is going to be. They confirmed that, right?
So, but we don't know what it's going to... We don't know exactly what it's going to be. Is it going to be a Frozen attraction, but something that they can adapt later to a newer film? So we don't know. I'm completely reserving judgment until until I get to experience and see what it is. I don't think it was that great of an attraction to begin with. I agree it was a distraction for children. I did enjoy some parts of it. If I was from Norway, I don't know if I would be happy with it.
So what was your favorite part, Jimmy? What was your favorite part?
Convincing everybody else on the boat that we were going backwards over the falls.
How about you, Ed? What's your favorite part of Maelstrom?
Actually, as strange as it sounds, I really like the movie. Now, it's kind of like I'm very much in the minority, and it's funny because I always watch the movie. And the last ride on Maelstrom, I bowed the peer pressure, and I kind of just moved right through the theater with Jimmy and Kim. So I didn't see the movie the last time I was
on. Jimmy, you drug him through. He didn't get to see the movie.
He did not say a word, because had he said, hey, let's go ahead and watch the movie,
fair
I would have definitely.
Oh, sure.
Definitely. It was your last time. You had to watch the movie, Jimmy.
It's the movie's 25 years old.
And we also had to get back for the scavenger hunt. So there was some definite concerns.
Yeah, okay.
And
okay.
I tell you what, I really am a big fan of all the movies at Epcot. So I thought this fit in perfectly because it fit into the whole pattern of China, France, Canada.
They're all 20 years old.
But
they're all outdated.
But even so, I don't see any parts of these countries even today anywhere else like I see them still at Epcot.
That's a good point. I agree.
And you know, the scenery hasn't changed for the most part. However, yeah, I'm sure the hairstyle patterns and the clothes and things like that have definitely kind of come.
There's that one. I recorded that three times while I was there. One was with the fisheye and two without. And the one funny part is there's a photo shoot within the movie, and it is so 80s, it's unbelievable. The fashions that they're wearing, it's just wow.
Sure. And I do have to say, the seats in there were probably the most uncomfortable in the entire park.
Yes, unless you're laying down across the one.
I was going to say, they are more comfortable than the seats and the movie in China.
Well, true, there are no seats.
Right.
There's no seats there, just like
Canada, right, exactly. So,
Jen, what's your favorite part of this?
I honestly like, well, this is really random, but the unloading area, which just was
it's a great area.
I mean, it's beautiful. Town. But what else are you going to say, like, my favorite part of the ride is when you get off of it? But that's not a joke. Like, that's...
Right.
I'm serious. It's so beautiful, and it was so nicely themed. I do feel like that might have been the most charming part of the entire ride.
So the oil derrick was not you didn't find that charming?
Not so much, because I never really noticed it until it made a splash after you'd already passed it, and you had to turn around and try to figure out what had just happened that you missed. Right. Yeah, but I did. I loved the little town.
Pirate ship. You were looking for the pirate ship. Pirates of the Caribbean.
That just shot the cannon. I know. Right. Yeah, I did love that little town, though. I thought it was charming. I thought it was a nice segue into the movie. I thought, and we actually did stay for the film probably at least 50% of the time, and definitely on our last trip. So I loved that whole area there, but
I have to agree with you. It's probably was the best themed area on that and the little light thing that when you first going up the hill,
the eyeball
that's got, you know, it beams the light at you, and if you look real close, you can see the eyeball kind of floating in there.
Maybe it hypnotized you to think it was a better ride than it was.
Well, right. I think that's what most people.
So I will tell you why I couldn't stand that eyeball, because it messed with cameras no matter what you were trying to do. If you're trying to videotape the ride, that had your lens going all over the place trying to go up there. So I never liked that.
Talking about the seats, just kind of off the subject, talking about the seats in Norway versus the seats in the movie in China. On previous shows before this one, I've been quoted as saying that I never go watch the movies in Canada or China. And on this last trip, I did go watch the movie in China.
Just in case they decided to cut it before your next trip?
I did not go watch the one in Canada. But I probably would have with a little bit of arm twisting from Ed.
I love the movie in Canada.
Sure. I think
Martin Short's not as cool as the Chinese guy and the one from China, though.
I agree. Two different types of cool.
I was going to say. Right. I'm not sure you can compare the two.
Yeah, no.
He's like a samurai or something.
No, he's a poet. And it's classic.
Oh, yeah, he was a poet. Right.
Totally classic. You can use him the entire... Even if you redid that movie, you could still use him.
You could still use him, yeah. Yeah, he was pretty awesome.
But, yeah, I could see Martin Short being replaced, though, soon.
Justin the Beaver?
Oh, no. That'll be tough.
He represents Canada now, right?
No. Nobody wants him right now.
I'm just joking. Sorry.
We'll be cutting all of Justin out of the show.
Right. Sorry to the Canadian listener.
And before we get off Maelstrom, I just wanted to say one more thing. When we got home from the trip, I noticed that somebody on Monday on the Disney Nerds group page had posted a video. He was driving down one of the highways in Orlando, and he had the camera out, and he was videotaping a truck he was passing, and it had the boats from Maelstrom on it the day after it closed. So that's a definite. They were getting rid of the different things inside of there right away. So maybe it won't be a big rehab. Won't be a long time.
So my thought was, I saw that, and my first thought was, holy cow, keep following that thing. I'm expecting that they're going to be refurbished into whatever they're going to be.
I was about to say that. You think they're going away for good, or they're just going to change them to reuse them? Because I can't imagine during this refurbishment they're going to be changing the whole ride track system.
I want to see sleds. If this is going to be frozen, then I want to be running around in sleds with a reindeer in front of me.
Like it.
Yeah, that's cool. I could see that.
But yeah, so refurbished or not, they were definitely on the highway and they were doing things right away. So I think that's probably good news.
Yeah, so I was there a little later than you guys, and I did go back to see what was happening. And the sign was completely gone the next day. The doors are closed. There's a little ring toss the kids can play where they're tossing rings on the Viking helmets. But it was a little sad to see the whole thing closed up because there's nothing back there now. There's no reason to go back there. I stood around a little bit just to kind of listen because every now and then somebody would come back and go, where's the boat ride? What happened to the boat ride?
Oh, so you just wanted to be a dream killer, so you just hung around back there so you could say, it's gone!
I was more interested in the cast members' reactions to those questions, right? Because what's the cast member going to say when somebody says, wasn't there a boat ride back here? What the heck happened? And the reply was, it's being replaced with a Frozen attraction. And they said that to people as they were coming. Now, I don't know if they're still doing that, but that's what they were saying. It's being replaced. Check back here next year. You'll find a new attraction.
I that was interesting. I remember John mentioning that he had heard it was going to be switched around so that the entrance would be through the exit and the exit would be through where the entrance was. So they are kind of rethinking the entire exhibit in there. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
It will be.
Okay, well, I tell you what, guys, that's it for show number 56. We really appreciate you listening and saying that. We want you to send us an email. Send us an email at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com and join us over on Facebook. We have the Disney Nerds podcast page where we post our shows and we talk about the specific shows. We also have the Disney Nerds group. That's a private group which you can ask to be part of, and we're more than happy to bring you on. Before we say goodbye, let's see if we have anything else going on.
Actually, I did want to bring up before we sign off, our buddy Rod Wheaton over at the Mousinger podcast and Scott Parker with Florida Plunge are actually holding a meet early next month on November 9th between 1:30 and 3 o'clock at the Friendship Boat Dock behind the Boardwalk Resort. And it's just a meet. All Disney nerds are invited just to go back there and meet some other Disney nerds and kind of just hang out with some like-minded people. And they're going to have some really, really cool prizes. Some of the prizes he messaged me about was a designer handbag, a four-day stay at the Wilderness, at Fort Wilderness with the RV provided, and some other cool stuff like subscriptions to Celebrations
awesome.
Magazine. Yeah, how fantastic is that?
We're just getting the RV, man. This is awesome.
I think they just beat us on prizes at their meet. Sam, next meet, you have to one-up them.
Yeah, I'm going to need – how do you one-up an RV? I can think.
You got to give somebody like some of your vacation club points.
We'll be doing the helicopter tour of the parks.
Helicopter right. tours. There you go.
Right.
He's got a
so,
helicopter.
Guys, if you're down there November 9th, go check them out. I imagine it'd be a lot of fun. I wish I could be there.
What was the name of the page or what was the name of the podcast?
Rod Wheaton is with the Mousinger podcast, and him and Scott Parker, who was at our meet with the Florida Plunger, they're kind of doing it together.
Okay, great. That sounds like something I wish I could get to, but not. Okay, well, again, that's it for show number 56. For Jen, Sam, Jimmy, this is Ed. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.